this is Kate, Director of Training for Team CLCC. And before you start today's podcast, I just have a quick message for you. We are starting our early bird registration over at teamclcc.com. Our early bird registration period will close on April 30th of 2024. So if you have an interest in our program, our next cohort is now taking applications, and our early bird registration is when you get a substantial tuition discount. It does end on April 30th, 2024. So head on over to teamclcc.com, that's teamclcc.com, to get our catalog and information about our upcoming session. And now here's today's podcast. This is the Craft of Coaching podcast, where you'll learn about how to become a life coach with a strong skill set through understanding the craft of coaching. I'm Kate Swoboda, a coach, author, and director of training for the Courageous Living Coach Certification at teamclcc.com. Learn more about our program at teamclcc.com. That's teamclcc.com. And now here's today's episode. Hey, everybody. If you have been a coach for a while, you've probably picked up on the fact that while coaching brings in elements of strategy, true change with your clients happens when people feel a sense of embodiment around the changes that they are making in their lives. Now, embodiment might seem like something of a fluffy word, so let me kind of try to explain what I mean by that. Think about all the times in your own personal life when you knew better, you knew what to do, you knew what the healthiest choice would be, yet it felt really hard to choose that healthier option. There was just like a ton of resistance. It didn't feel natural, intuitive. You didn't wanna, motivation was an issue. That's what we're talking about here. When you're struggling to make the choice that you know is in your best interest, you know the strategy, yet it feels like you feels being the operative word, like you cannot go in that direction, then the shift that you're pursuing isn't yet embodied. It isn't yet integrated into your way of being, your way of living your life. So for today's episode, I'm going to talk about the difference between bringing a strategy lens and an embodiment lens to coaching sessions. And I've mentioned this a bajillion times before that I'm a coaching dinosaur. I've been around for a long time. And let me tell you, I've seen the pendulum go in wildly different directions. When I first started as a coach, most of the messaging around what coaching is or how it could be of benefit was more strategy focused. Now, lots of the messaging around coaching was that consultants strategize, coaches collaboratively work with clients to create performance improvements, yada, yada, yada. And I just kind of look at all that and go, let's just get to the point. Consultants collaboratively work with their clients too, right? Like consultants may say more often, in my experience, here are my recommendations. I've assessed the situation. This is what I suggest you do. They might do that more often than coaches do, which does skew the relationship with a consultant to be less client-led. But having worked as an organizational coach over the years, I have absolutely seen that consultants collaborate and do intake of client ideas. So I think the way that it used to be framed when I first started, thankfully there's less of that, but I think it still holds when people are like, well, consultants, they just tell you what to do and coaches collaborate with you about what to do. And it's like, I think a lot of consultants actually collaborate as well. Now, as coaching has evolved, there is more and more discussion that's happening around embodiment, feelings, emotions. How do we process them? How do we metabolize them? And that embodiment lens, I think, is really great to bring to coaching because plenty of people know all of the strategies, yet they don't embody them. They hit their goals, but their lives don't feel good, okay? So there are strategic aspects of coaching. And what has happened that I've observed with the pendulum is that as more emphasis has gone to embodiment, what ends up happening is that people start to poo-poo the strategic aspects of coaching. And I think that's a mistake. I would argue that if there are never any strategic aspects to coaching, then the sessions are less successful or valuable for the client. The way I look at it is that while the client has all of their own answers, they are not paying you to simply listen to them. They are paying you to listen, to ask questions, to ask strategic questions that help them move forward in the areas that are most important to them. So I don't think that we want to get really polarized around strategy and embodiment. Instead, I think that we need to integrate both. So I've mentioned that the strategic aspects of coaching were more highlighted when I first became a coach. And I mentioned that as a setup for the fact that this pendulum has swung so in the opposite direction. For some coaches, wildly so. The conversation around embodiment has just really taken root. And again, I think it's a good thing. I'm the director of training for a life coach training program, as you may have heard in the intro to this episode. And in years past, in addition to our core curricula of coaching fundamentals that cover the ICF core competencies and give our practice a lot of, our participants a lot of active practice in coaching, we have also offered what we call a major concentration, where you can choose a niche area of coaching to specialize in. And one of those majors is somatic coaching. And that's where we help our coaches learn ways to help clients with developing more somatic awareness. This is really helpful for situations where clients feel burned out, chronically tired. They know that they're afraid, but actually tapping into their fear so that they can face it and move past it is a block. Along with the coaching conversations about more client embodiment, there has been an uptick in discussions about trauma and how to process or work with emotion. And this season, I will be offering another podcast episode for The Craft of Coaching, specifically on trauma coaching. So for this episode that I'm recording right now, I want to differentiate that in speaking about embodiment for this episode right now, I am drawing a line between how coaches support clients to gain a greater sense of somatic awareness and tapping into their felt sense in the body, and coaches supporting clients who want to work through trauma. This episode is focusing on the former, not the latter. Just wanted to make sure I cleared that up. So I'm going to talk about some of the differences between strategic coaching and embodiment coaching, or having that as kind of a lens or direction you lean in when you work with your clients, and get into the question of which one to use. Now, if you have any familiarity with the ICF core competencies, International Coaching Federation, ICF, then you may have already had some awareness about how the ICF differentiates between the who and the what in a session. Your clients come to you in your sessions. They have goals, big goals like over time, goals for the session itself, things that they want to change. They want to quit their jobs. They want to find work that lights them up. They want to get in shape. They want to improve their relationships. From a strategic coaching lens, and this is where I see most coaches start, and it's fine. The coaching questions or conversation might sound something like, gotcha. You know, let's define what isn't working about your job and what you wish you could do for a living. Let's discuss why you're not in shape and then map out a plan to get in shape. Let's talk about where things feel disconnected in your relationships and how to get connected in your relationships. So there's a lot of emphasis on strategy, planning, action. Embodiment as a coaching lens with those same topics might be something like, walk me through your day at your job as if I'm shadowing you at work and describe each task. And then as the client describes this, the coach might ask the client to identify what they feel in their body. Or in the example of getting in shape, the coach might invite the client to sit in their own resistance to going to the gym. What's that really about? What does your body tell you? As they articulate the words, what do they feel in the body? With a topic like relationships, using embodiment could sound like asking the client, who does this person remind you of from your past? And then encouraging the client to notice what kind of tension they hold in their body relevant to the current relationship and whoever this current relationship reminds them of from the past. So This is just me riffing on what could happen in a session. Certainly what I've just described is not a prescriptive or a list of what you should do, but I did want to first lay out how the different approaches might sound if you were a fly on the wall in a coaching session so that you can recognize them and get you thinking about which lens you tend to adopt more naturally, more easily, which lens you tend to gravitate to, so that you can also consider how to integrate other lenses in your coaching sessions. Pardon the interruption, I apologize. This will be quick. If you are benefiting from this podcast content, would you help me out? Please, if you could just take a second to go give this podcast a quick rating, I'd really appreciate it. I put a lot of time into trying to create content that is as useful as possible for you. And I am not someone with a big media and PR firm behind me. So when you give the podcast a quick rating, it really, really helps other people to find it as well. I am so appreciative. It's a great way of paying it forward. Thank you so much. Now back to the episode. Hopefully you're already realizing that you do some of these things naturally in your own coaching sessions. And this gets us to that question of which approach do you use? In my opinion, the best coaching sessions will naturally, organically implement a mix of both strategies interwoven into the session. Why is that? Because of what I pointed out earlier when I asked us to all think of those times when we knew better, we knew the strategy. It's so frustrating. But actually acting on what we know was the block. And when there's that impasse between a coach and client around what we know and what we actually do, and the client is frustrated and stuck in that place, or if the client knows all the things and does all the things, but still life is feeling kind of ick, my go-to is going to be that there's something stuck around embodiment. Something is stuck around feeling in that client's body, their ability, them feeling a sense of ownership over their choices, them feeling a sense of capacity to be able to do the thing that's hard, even if it nudges up against discomfort. And rather than writing off that client, rather than judging them as not being truly invested in the coaching process, rather than labeling them as uncoachable, all things I personally don't subscribe to with my own clients, what I encourage instead is an honest conversation about how normal this is. Yes, normal. If I had a client in that situation, my first priority would be to normalize for the client that, yeah, it can be challenging for you, for me, for anyone on the planet to take action on the things that they know they need to take action around. And why? Because we're afraid. We're afraid. It's really normal to be afraid. You're not doing it wrong if you're afraid. You're just human. And if you already follow me over at yourcourageouslife.com, which is my private coaching website, if you follow me on Instagram as Kate Courageous, if you follow my Your Courageous Life podcast, yes, I have another podcast if you didn't already know. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. If you have read my book, The Courage Habit, or my other book, 100% Fully Alive, you know that having been a coach since 2006, I have been on a bullhorn about this since 2006. This is where I stand, and it is the truth. Fear is normal. No one ever gets rid of it. You are not going to help your clients get rid of fear forever. Please do not be in the coaching marketplace saying, I'll teach you to be fearless. Ain't gonna happen. Not true. You can't help people to be fearless. You can help them to learn how to fear, comma, less. You can help them to learn how to manage the fear that they feel. It is really normal for people to feel a lack of capacity to feel fear in the gap between what we want to let go of and what we want to create, the gap between what we want most for ourselves and where our lives actually are in the moment. So to me, labeling a client as uncoachable when they're actually just afraid is, in my mind, an unkind label to put on someone. And this is precisely where we need to get beyond strategy and into embodiment. This is where the moment is perfect for helping the client feel into their resistance and hesitation and doubt and worry and explore that, not from a place of, well, but why don't you believe in yourself? Can't you see how illogical that is? You know, if you go too cognitive and strategic, it's almost like lacking empathy for the person. Instead, explore it from a place of what the inner feelings are of that client. At the same time, I am going to say this. Some coaches are overly focused on embodiment. All day, every day, when they go into sessions, it's about what the client feels and the feelings start dictating behavior. If it doesn't feel right, don't do it. Let me tell you something. That is not great advice for every person on the planet. If it doesn't feel right, don't do it is not great advice for every person on the planet. And I know that there's a collective shock and horror. So for some people, when they hear me say that, so let me explain, okay? There are people who need to take action even if feelings are coming up and it doesn't feel right. There are people who are wasting time, wasting their lives, waiting for things to feel right before they'll move forward. So again, I didn't say it's never great to look at the ethos of if it doesn't feel right, don't do it. Sometimes I live by that. There are certain situations where I will absolutely go, doesn't feel right. I'm not going to do it. But I know myself pretty damn well at this point. And I'm pretty good at determining when it's like, okay, I'm making excuses because I don't want to take action because I'm afraid, I'm wasting time, I'm waiting for it to feel right, and that is just, it's not going to get me anywhere. And if I miss this, my radar, I've got people in my corner who are going to go, Kate, no. Okay. I'm asking you as coach to be the person who does that for your clients, the KKKKK. Come on. You got to have a little bit of that in your sessions. If it doesn't feel right, don't do it is not great advice for every person on the planet. And I also see this in coaching around relationships. Like if you have clients who come to you and they are in a difficult relationship of some kind, people play the victim. Saying, you know, I feel uncomfortable around this person. They're an energy vampire. Well, no, actually, there are no energy vampires. I know, again, collective gasp, this 100%. And I've been on this bullhorn for a while too. There are no energy vampires. Someone can't take your energy, especially if you're not giving it to them. Okay, like nobody can take my energy. You listening to this, you can't take my energy unless I'm giving it to you. Okay, so there's no energy vampires. There's let me not give my energy to people if I feel like there is a lack of reciprocity, if I feel like they are unkind, if I feel like they are exhibiting excessively strong main character energy, for instance. So what often can happen, coming back to coaching around relationships, when the embodiment lens is applied too heavily, it becomes a kind of conversation about, well, you know, if you don't feel good around the person, just don't talk to them anymore. And then the client is ghosting instead of having a conversation that is uncomfortable that they could learn a lot from, perhaps about themselves. And I gotta say, since I have this moment with you, ghosting is fundamentally unkind. There are so many people out there who like to call themselves kind, compassionate, empathetic people who unfortunately are behaving in ways that are not kind, that are not compassionate, that are not empathetic when they ghost someone. So much of the focus when we're disconnected in a relationship ends up being about the other person and that they're quote unquote toxic. So if you are a coach holding a session for a client and this is what they're saying, let me tell you, that the client is probably telling some level of truth, but ghosting to just shun someone and ignore them because the client doesn't want to have an uncomfortable conversation, that's pretty toxic behavior as well. Ghosting people is a chicken shit move. It's avoidant, it's selfish, it's controlling. The ghoster gets to have all the control of the relationship by removing themselves from it without warning, without having to stay around to see the collateral damage they leave in their wake, potentially traumatizing the person that they ghosted. And I'm going to be really real with you. I have coached some people who have been ghosted. And the pain that they were in that I was trying to support them around because they did not understand what happened or why is extreme. It is traumatizing to some people. So for the love of a better world, can we please start encouraging our clients to have uncomfortable conversations rather than ghost? Can we please stop telling our clients that if it doesn't feel good, don't do it? If it doesn't feel right to talk to that person anymore, just don't ever return a text. Like, can we not do that, please? Now, of course, having said all that, just last little thing I'll say about that. If your client has had the uncomfortable conversation with someone and the other person is unresponsive to solutions, then yeah, of course, sometimes you got a ghost. If someone is being physically or emotionally abusive, then for sure, get away from them. That's not ghosting. That is self-protection. So just want to clarify that. Now, I bring up these examples because they commonly show up in client sessions, and coaches want to be supportive of their clients. So when someone says they didn't take action because it didn't feel right, if the coach comes solely from an embodiment lens, then they're going to pat the client on the head and essentially say, I know, life is tough. It's okay if you don't go after this change right now. And when someone comes to a coaching session and says that the other person that they think is so toxic isn't worthy of a conversation just to close out the relationship, the coach will often do the same thing, again, in an effort to be supportive. You deserve better. Just listen to your body. Your body's wisdom tells you who you should and shouldn't be in contact with. Now, again, if you're solely leaning on that, people are going to be really grateful for the support, but it might not be in the client's best interest, okay? The differentiation between strategy and embodiment, I find this really interesting, yet the necessity of bringing both to a coaching session is actually expressed in the ICF core competencies. If you take a look at competency 7, evokes awareness, and this is from the updated core competencies that were done in 2020, you'll see that competency marker 7.2 is about how the coach works with the client to explore the who of the client. It's the client's self-concept, their values, how they show up, their worldview. How does this session and the work in this session express the who of this client in their lives and who they want to become? Competency marker 7.3 is about helping the client to explore the what, or the topic or strategy. How is the client approaching situations, events, circumstances, people, goals, dreams? And I think that loosely, we could say that coaching that is more strategic tends to focus on the what, and coaching that is more embodied tends to focus more on the who. So they go together, and even the ICF core competencies are showing us this. It's not that you prioritize one over the other and you're providing a better session. The best sessions are going to bring in both. The bottom line is, we are not doing right by a client if we really over-focus on just one over the other. Exploration of who the client is extremely valuable, but it can become a pointless exercise in navel-gazing if all the client ever does is wax poetic about who they are and what they feel. Exploration of the what that a client wants is also extremely valuable, but it can become a pointless exercise in goal attainment, where the client looks around and says, yeah, I got the goal, I can do things, I can hit a to-do list, but I still don't feel happy. So here's where we land with strategy and embodiment, who and what. When you are preparing for your next session, this is an exercise I invite you into, skills-based exercise. Consider reviewing your client notes from the previous session and then proactively mapping out some questions that you would like to ask this same client in an upcoming session. After you do this, review the questions and identify whether they are leaning in a more strategic direction or a more embodied direction. For every question that you identify as strategic, brainstorm a separate new question that is essentially the same question, but that comes from an embodied lens. And for every question that you feel leans on the more embodied side, do the same thing. Write an alternative version of the question where the heart of the question itself does not change, but you now have an embodied version of the question as well as a strategic question. Then, when you go into your session, let the client know that your intent is to explore what they want to bring from both a strategic and an embodied place. And as you explore the questions in the session, notice the client's energy and responsiveness. Where do they perk up? Where do they get kind of muted? What questions give them pause or cause them to think, wow, I never thought of that way before? What questions are landing for them as, oh yeah, I already know that? What questions are bringing them the most insights? This is how you can bring the who and the what, the strategy and the embodiment into your sessions without letting them get too one-sided. And without a doubt, some of your sessions will be heavy on one or the other at times, okay? You might end a session and think, oh my gosh, that session was all strategy. I should have brought in more embodiment. That would be a misunderstanding of what I'm saying here. I'm not saying you should or have to bring in both aspects to all sessions if you're a good coach. I'm saying that in the aggregate, it is true that the best coaching is going to bring in both, while acknowledging that some sessions will fit more into one or lean more in one direction than in the other. And remember always, the client is the one leading. The coach is guiding in response to what the client leads with. There's no competition between strategy and embodiment. It's about making sure that that client's needs are met. All right, that's today's episode. Learn more about our program by going to teamclcc.com. That's teamclcc.com. You can get our catalog and also get the free Become a Coach video series to decide if our program and life coaching as a career is right for you. Hope to see you there.